Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up live show. Happy Hour, RBC, Chevron Edition. DJ Pie is out. He filled in gracefully last week, a little too good. Almost, I feel like he was gunning for my job, but greatly appreciated. Solly here, back in the captain's seat and back with a brand spanking new High Noon tequila. We'll get to that in a second. TC is here. Hello, TC.
Hello, Solly. I got the grapefruit today. I've been drying out a little bit the last couple of days, getting back into it.
I'm on strawberry today, but Cody is here as well. He is fresh off playing in the Pro-Am at the Chevron this week. We had a Chevron preview out this week as well. We'll talk a little bit about that after RBC, but hello, Cody. How are you?
Hello. How you do? Just got back from the road. Big road trip back from Houston this morning. Excited to be here for this Corrales Punta Cana Championship preview show. Let's go.
Solly just found out.
At 3:57, I found out that there was another event this week. I truly, it is wild what a week like not on your phone will do at Augusta. But you can bring the Fiesta anywhere you go with the all-new High Noon Tequila Seltzer Fiesta Pack. This variety 8-pack features two new tequila flavors, Blood Orange and Prickly Pear, alongside two tequila favorites, Grapefruit and Lime. All are made with real tequila, real juice, perfect for any Fiesta. Find the High Noon Tequila Seltzer Fiesta Pack nearest you at highnoonspirits.com. High Noon, sun's up. Gosh, I'm excited. Wait, thank you to Jordan as well that brought some High Noon tequilas to the house at Augusta, which we, KVV and I, made that a little nightly tradition when we'd get home around 11 o'clock every night. We had to crack open one High Noon tequila. Also want to shout out our friends at Roback Activewear. You know Roback, best fit, best feel. It's spring. There's nothing better for the season than Roback. They have been pumping out new designs left and right. They're incredible beyond just golf. They've got bathing suits now, which will go. We'll be using from a hot day on the course straight to the pool. The performance polos, moisture wicking, great stretch. Collar is crisp, doesn't lose its shape. You know all this. They fit way better than old boxy polos. The best designs paired with the best feeling polos. Performance hoodies, our favorite hoodies to wear. The fabric is so soft. Cannot take them off. Wear them on the course or just in everyday life. Getting a little hot around here, TC. I'm not
Solly excited. Wears them in bed. This is a direct report from Hannah. He said he cannot take them off. Even they're his pajamas now.
Solly, they just dropped some new spring colors this week. Are you going to wear the bathing suit on the golf course? Is that how I read that? You know, like that's how I inferred there.
That wasn't even their words, TC. That was mine. I'm wearing it straight from the golf course, straight into the pool. The Q zips are great. I'm wearing the performance long sleeve right now. Cody and I actually are matching. I'm gonna just. Short, oh, you got short sleeves on. Okay, I'm sorry. If you haven't already, time to load up on some Roback for yourself and for others. Code NLU at Roback.com. 20% off your first order through the end of this week. Roback.com. 20% off bottoms, Q-zips, hoodies, and more with code NLU. Spring golf is not the same without Roback. Subtle Dog logo was everywhere last week at Augusta, I may say as well.
Love hearing that. Cody, TRGC.
That's tobacco the hat that road. Cody's wearing for those listening on the pod.
Not Tobacco Road Golf Club. It is the club of the team that's currently first in our American League West, the Texas Rangers Golf Club. Yes, they own a golf course. Their Corn Ferry event in, like, I think next week.
Huh. How about that?
Shout out to your boy.
All right, a lot to get to here in our little happy hour, a tradition that we have here for major championships, elevated weeks, LPGA majors. It's a good crossover this week between the RBC and having Chevron as well. Little hungover from the Masters, of course, literally and figuratively, I think. But TC, what's one thing you're excited about this week at RBC?
I love this golf tournament. I think there's going to be some guys that probably wish that there was a cut this week. There's going to be some guys that are 10, 15, 20 shots off the lead after day two. And are like, man, can I just go home? But I like that it brings out a different skill set from the week to week. It provides a lot of variety with the leaderboard. It's not a bomber's paradise, and it's, you know, you got to hit greens, you got to putt well. Like, there's no secrets around Harbortown, and I think that's why I'm excited because I think Tommy Fleetwood's going to win. I think he's going to win his first PGA Tour event this week.
It's just an AI generated version of TC coming.
Are you sure you want to put him in that category though? Because I mean, there's kind of a rap of people who can never really climb the mountain at Augusta, and they get real comfortable winning the next week. I mean, this is like Davis Love the Third comes to mind. I don't know if you want to. I mean, that would end in a great career for Tommy. I just don't think that's what you're looking for, TC.
Yeah, how many times did DL3 win this? 5, 6?
17, so. I think.
yeah, true, five. Who could say? I mean, numbers five don't times. Matter anyway.
Yeah, I'm trying to think anybody that kind of doubled up there. Anybody that...
Spieth.
Stu Sinks won a major, Spieth. I don't really see anybody else that's won a Masters and a... the third leg Greg came up or won the
RBC won the, deep. You won the RBC deep in that scroll and
yeah.
He's going down the leaderboard.
Watson won it. Yeah.
All right, Cody, what are you excited about this week at RBC?
Kind of the same thing. I mean, a hangover week, if you could ever describe it, but I know everybody loves Hilton Head because you're kind of back a high pressure environment last week and everybody's just kind of relaxed and the families are back on tour and honestly, what I was thinking, Tommy didn't jump to my mind, but I think like Ludvig's going to murder everybody this week. And, you know, to come that close and to continue the form, I don't know why these guys, outside of it being a signature event, they have to be exhausted. He's going to load up on Chipotle and just run everyone over.
Is there a Chipotle up there?
Has to be, right?
There's got to be it. Hilton Head, got to think so. I am I'll tell you exactly what I'm excited for. I'm excited for Sunday, right? I think I have a tendency in some of these weeks after majors to just be like, oh, I don't want an event this week. Oh, no. And really, that only applies to the early part of the week, right? It is going to be hard to just get back into all the bullshit of that's surrounding the PGA Tour. We'll talk about some of that here in a second. But, you know, and get excited for Thursday, Friday, RBC golf. I'll probably be tuning in a little bit more to the Chevron into that. But Sunday always bangs, man. By the time Sunday comes around, Masters will be pretty far in the rear view. And it's always, you're getting a much better chance of getting contrasting styles competing against each other on Sunday at Hilton Head than you do a lot of other PGA Tour courses, right? And it's a limited field event. So we got almost everyone there that's playing in it. Scotty's playing in it. Rory's playing in it. Wyndham, Ludvig. It's a lot of names.
Webb. Course, all Webb, the hitters.
Kevin Kisner, of course, like, you know, the sponsors exemptions, we'll get to that as well. But all that to say, like, we can sometimes have a tendency to say, all right, this course does not fit blank's game, right? Because it doesn't fit Rory's game. And he gets the biggest hit on data golf for course fit, but that doesn't mean they can't compete there, right? Like, usually one of the bombers or longer hitters will find its their way into the leaderboard. And I think this course sets up really well for a limited field event. I really do think it does. I think we're going to get a pretty solid weekend out of this. I'm not going to feign the super excitement come Thursday, but come Sunday, I think we're going to have a good weekend.
So. I think CBS always does a good job with it too. Yes. Yeah. It's, you know, there's good camera angles, the green, like it's striking architecture. There's good views. It's, you know, it's cool. They kind of capture the vibe. Guys, I do have some concerns about Ludvig just because the closest Chipotle is 27 minutes away off the island. Over across from Hilton Head National.
He got all that money. He got runners for that. Now, TC, we're fine.
Can't that be a good thing? Like, maybe we shouldn't be doing Chipotle during tournament week, right? I mean, you know, that sometimes I could not agree with you. I mean, I forget that he's like 24 years old. He should be fine. But I'm thinking of my 37-year-old brain.
Sully, I had a green smoothie for breakfast, and that drive today was rough. So I know exactly what you mean. All right.
We talk about this golf course a lot, about Harbortown. Okay, if you don't mind throwing up, incorporating some tools here from our friends at Data Golf of just an illustration here showing just how much, I don't know how the right way to say this, like driving distance is not emphasized here at a scale that we don't see on the PGA Tour, right? Driving accuracy emphasized just a little bit more, around the green emphasized just a little bit more, putting maybe just a little bit less, an approach plays in about the same as what you would expect, in a PGA Tour course, right? So again, that doesn't eliminate the guys that hit it far, but just a little bit more emphasis on the accuracy is probably why we've seen guys like Webb and you know, Cantlay and somehow Spieth, I don't really know how, have some success on this course. But again, you get contrasting styles. Matt Fitzpatrick, of course, won here last year. He had a T4 finish here in 2021 as well. Patrick Cantlay has finished third and second here in the last 2 years. Cam Davis, T7 and T3 in the last 2 years.
That one kind of surprises me because he's, you know, more of a bomber, but you know, good iron player. I think the other thing that doesn't show up on this is creativity. I think you got to have some creativity. You got to be able to shape the ball around. You know, I think that's where Spieth kind of sticks his head out above the crowd.
You will see a few more shots in the like 150 to 200 yard range than you might think on this golf course. So that's kind of a you'll see less shots from over 200 yards on this golf course, and just a little bit more from 100 to 150. So basically, 200 plus yard approaches are really limited on this course. They're limited to just the par fives. And everybody's expected to have about two of those per round. So around nine shots expected between that 150 to 200 bucket. Again, these are tools that come from Data Golf. And I find that part interesting, right? It's more of a short iron, mid iron test than it is a long iron test here.
You got to hit your mid irons really well in the par threes. I mean, there's, you know,
there's 14, no bail on the
14, especially is like, you got to hit the shot, man. Or you got to take on the risk at some point, because otherwise you're chipping from back over that green back towards the water. And, you know, 17's no picnic. 16's one of the most underrated holes on the course, I think. I love Harbortown. 15's an awesome par five.
Well, this is a place that we, like, again, we get into this next question. Amal Yannick, of course, great sending in questions. How are we feeling about signature events on the whole? Seems like having them the week before or week after majors will make them feel less important. I think I'll honestly, when I put that question in there, I was like, I agree. And I'm ready to disagree with it already, because this is this is an event that a lot of these guys would skip for a lot of reasons, both for course fit and Masters hangover. But it's kind of like a, no, we're doing this and you guys are going to be there. Like Rory, you're going to be there. And Scotty, you're going to be there. I know you're getting ready to have a kid as well, but you're at least in the tournament as of now. We get to watch these guys go through this prism when it was a course that was very easy for guys to skip if it didn't fit their schedule, if it didn't fit their course fit, if it whatever. This is, I think, a win in this model, designated signature event model. Do I think they can probably go past 69 guys and fill out the field? I do think so, yes. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just got my D Rider hat on here to say, like, this is better than the RBC would have been if it was not a signature event.
Solid. So I agree with you too. I think it's very much like, hey, put your big boy pants on, grind a little bit this week. Let's see who's got some mental toughness. Let's see who's got some endurance or some mental agility. And I think also, like, you've got all this momentum from last week's major. You know, people are in the mood for golf. You know, preconditioned to, hey, you know what? Masters was awesome last week. I want to turn on another good tournament instead of just letting it, you know, go fallow for 2 weeks and just doing Punta Cana this week. I think I agree. I think it's good for establishing some momentum.
I don't know who we got to talk to. Is it YouTube TV? Is it CBS? Is it NBC? Is it Golf Channel? I don't know who makes these decisions, but we need the multi-view for golf. Now we're entering that time of the year where there's going to be multiple golf events on at once. Like, you need to give us that option if for YouTube TV subscribers. Like, baseball has it, basketball has it, football has it. Like, you can watch two games at once. You can watch four college football games all at once on a YouTube TV. I need that in golf now. Like, it's time for that. So don't make me put on my Vision Pro.
It's like, I would love to see just a stationary camera on number nine this week. Number nine is one of the best par fours on the PGA Tour. I think at this point it's probably better than number four or than number 10 at Riv, just with all the, you know, consternation around that one and kind of how binary that one's gotten. Whereas I think number nine at Harbortown there's a million different ways to play it. It's different every single day depending upon where the pin is and where the tee is and all that. It's I love that hole.
What's a heritage memory that comes to mind when you think of this event?
I think of us sitting around the table with eating chips and salsa and talking about how much Kuchar stinks, and then Kuchar goes out and wins the next day. And
that was my memory. The bunker shot. We literally, the very first No Layup podcast was 10 years ago this week. We shout out, TC was trying to shit on Matt Kuchar. All of my Finau arguments that you heard much later in the podcast, I was exercising them right then, right there, saying Matt Kuchar's a really good golfer. He's in contention a lot. And he went out and won that week, hold a bunker shot right in TC's face. And that is literally the image that comes to mind. It's him taking his hat off and waving it when he won that week. So,
yeah, there's so many. I mean, God,
Ted Purdy
walking around there, cactus lime drinks and just all sorts of going to the hibachi place, sit next to Tim Clark at the hibachi place, or Randy asking Ricky Barnes if he was staying at Francois's place this year, and Ricky just shitting all over him. Just, you know, Randy's timeshare there. God, like so many memories from Hilton Head.
We got to go up one of these years. It does not fit the schedule ever with Masters just consuming our souls the week before. But
quick shout out if people are confused too. I mean, it is big, legit 10-year anniversary week for you boys. Congratulations on that. If people want to find that podcast, they can go to our sister podcast channel on the YouTubes and find that. But you know what really sticks out for me? I will never be able to erase how drastic Stu Sink's hat tan is. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, like, he is the character that fits so perfectly with this event, and the hat tan just as white as can be with that crazy jacket that they love.
The tartan jacket.
Yeah.
Also, I want to shout out the flyovers. It's a tough week for Boeing, guys, with the congressional hearings and everything. This is the RBC Heritage presented by Boeing.
That snuck up on me too. I did not know that was coming.
But they do a, you know, always it's always a 747 or a 787 flyover, real low. It's really cool. But man, just tough timing on that one for Boeing this year.
Sports washing, man. It's Boeing, maybe the original sports washers, or maybe they've learned a thing or two from Liv. What, talk to me a little bit about sponsors exemptions this week, TC. We have Gary Woodland, Kevin Kisner, Shane Lowry, and one Webb Simpson getting a sponsors exemption. What are your thoughts on this?
So I think we were all a little bit bummed that Gary didn't get a sponsor exemption to Pebble.
Yeah.
So no issues there. I think, you know, he's a deserving and everything he's been through, and, you know, obviously a fan favorite and a good guy. You know, and really all these guys are good guys. I don't think that's, you know, at issue.
TC's good guy test here.
Shane Lowry, I think he was the first or second or the first or second guy outside the list. So, you know, all good there. Like, he was close to getting in on his own merit. Kisner, I mean, I guess I get it. Like, he's a South Carolina guy. Course fit. He's been doing all the commentary stuff. I think, like, if Kisner doesn't play well a week like this, then I think he probably looks more towards hanging it up and committing fully to the telecast stuff. And then with Webb, it's just like, man, like, I guess he just needs to ask himself, like, is this a good look? Is this, you know, so like the optics suck, and it's not always about the optics, but at some point when you're a board member, it is about the optics as well, right?
100%. And the only thing that makes this one different, I think, is that he's a past champ. He won this event in 2020, and he's had success in this event. He was T9 in 2021, T16 in 2019, but missed the cut last year, T59 in 2022. So,
and it's his third or fourth exemption of the year. He got into Bay Hill. He didn't get Genesis. He was at Pebble. You know, it just feels a little off where Stu Sink won it more recently than Webb, and Stu's in a similar spot in the FedEx Cup. Like, why aren't we talking about Stu Sink getting in?
There should be a limit. I understand that the it takes a long time for them to change policy and everything else like that, but with these new signature events and how they're limited fields and everything else like that, they honestly should be capped at one per year.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Or maybe it's just two. Maximum two.
Like, especially the way that the FedEx Cup works and the 75, like the 70 or the 50 and the 70 and the 125 now, all that, it's just like, it's such an unfair leg up for him over stuff that he hasn't necessarily earned. Like, Webb, like, you want to earn it this week? There's another PGA Tour event. Go down to the Dominican Republic and fucking earn it.
Webb has zero top 10s this year. His last top 10 was a T5 at last year's Wyndham. Going back before that, the previous top 10 was a T7 at last year's Valspar. His running strokes gained, a 50-round moving average, is 0.1. So he's like a dead flat average PGA Tour player over his last 50 rounds, which is kind of a cool tool. And then he's actually below average in his last 100 rounds.
Question for you guys. Like, so let's say Webb finishes 60th this week. What would that equate to finishing down in the DR this week with the opposite field event? Because I feel like that's, you want to talk about, you know, competitive advantages or kind of the game within the game. Like, that's something that, like, I can get down with what Lonto Griffin or what some of these other guys were complaining about in the offseason when you kind of distill it down to that. Like, let's say T60. Yeah, points-wise, you know, no cut, limited field event, guaranteed points, basically. Same thing we always talked about with, like, the WGCs, right? A guy can finish in last place and still get, you know, before they change everything, a guy can finish in last place at the Hero, not beat a single guy in the field and still get FedEx Cup points or world ranking points.
Yeah, just off the top, I mean, elevated event or signature event, excuse me, is 700 points versus I'm pretty sure the DR is, what, 300?
Yeah.
That's correct. If you give me a second, I can try to find you an answer on that. But I think
no worries, we can report back.
I don't think it's a lot. Yeah. It's not going to be a lot. It is like what they were whining a lot about was like, hey, you get more points for a T5 in one of these than you do for like a T2 in the Dominican or wherever. And I don't disagree. I still have a problem with that. Like, we're talking about two just totally different tournaments, right? And if you you can always use the data golf tool as well, of course, to look at all of the tournaments of the week to say, like, the average skill distribution in RBC Heritage is a plus 0.77 player, which is like almost a full stroke gain is the average player, whereas the average for Punta Cana is negative 0.83. So the average player is almost a full shot below average on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I know those numbers don't mean a ton other than to say, like, that's a massive distribution. Like, that is, you know, there's going to be 50 players in the field. I'm sorry, 24 players in the field at Heritage that, you know, gain over a shot per round. And there's one at Punta Cana, right? So you're just not beating top golfers down there.
If you live in the Dominican Republic right now and you need plumbing work done or a fire put out,
call either Serve Pro or somebody at the Corrales Punta Cana.
There's plenty of plumbers and firemen down there.
What's more of a diss, mules or plumbers and firemen?
I think mules.
Okay.
I mean, plumbers and firemen are, you know, those are upstanding, well-paying jobs and contributing to society. And
I will say, a mule glossed himself as a mule to bring this out. It was not originally meant to be a demeaning term. It's not a demeaning term. It's just representative of your value.
Somebody's in the comments. He said, Dave Scott, TC thinks RBC stands for real big cans.
I need to get my hands. I was getting ready to say I need to get my hands on some of the big cans, but
No.
I wasn't going to throw that soundbite out there. But guys, you got to help me out with this one. Is Rory going to live? I heard all about it from so many places this week.
I heard that too, man. I heard that too.
Many credible sources were saying Rory's going to live for $850 million.
You know, I'm told that was the most credible financial paper in London.
Most read financial paper, in London, that is now reporting on golf, allegedly. It wasn't even saying that he's going. It was like that basically they were reporting a rumor. Of course, everyone ran with it like they always do. And here's what I'll put a call out. If you have my phone number, like, don't text me about Rory to live. I was getting ready to. I was going to name everyone that texted me, like, hey, is this Rory thing true? And I was going to call you out on the pod, but I decided not to do that to you and your families. I was going to name you by name. Like, did you text me on Monday evening saying, is this Rory stuff true? Like, come on. Like, there's a reason why we wouldn't say anything about it. And that if Rory would have gone to live, it'd have been the biggest, like Neil said this earlier in our Slack, of like the biggest, like, words don't matter in maybe sports history, right? Of just like repeatedly saying the same thing for 2 years and still there's just been enough stuff going on that we were like, I mean, is he that cold-blooded? I didn't think Rahm was that cold-blooded, and he ended up being that cold-blooded. Yeah. Like, is Rory? And it just turns out, like, no, he is, you know, he's meant what he said, and I don't know where that came from. I don't think he hates it being out there, because I do think he wants, like, shit to get moving very quickly. But
that's what I was going to say. Like, yeah. I think it puts, like, it kind of applies pressure, but it would have been like skipping, you know, 20 steps of, all right, if you're that unhappy, you need to be more vociferous about Herlihy and Dunn and Big J. And I could see him aligning with the DP World Tour and PIF, you know, well before he aligns with, you know, LIV and just goes all the way there. It's like, hey, let's figure out how to form a global tour here. But yeah, anyway. Also, the Financial Times is based in London. I would think that's probably the most read you know, London financial paper. Just going to throw that out there.
Gosh, you think that was inaccurate news that was being spread on X.com? I don't believe it. Inaccurate news being spread and rewarded by the algorithm on X.com, which that is how things are going to work now and forever. Everyone, I need everyone. Kyle Porter was talking about this week as well. We need some media literacy amongst everyone. You got to understand who your sources of information are. You got to know who you're putting your trust in. We can't just trust just because it gets written about on Twitter does not mean it's going to be accurate, including us. Like we sometimes we're not going to get everything exactly right. But the people that don't care about we're going to at least try to share accurate information. The people that don't care about it get promoted the most on Twitter. And that's going to happen for from now until eternity. That's just the reality. Shout out to the Gooch. Any other you got some other live news you tracked down this week, TC, or that's out there?
Yeah, I just, you know, I was kind of surprised they're hiring some real human beings, some professionals to kind of do real jobs within live. They hired a couple people that have been with, I think, IMG prior. They hired a revenue person from the 76ers who's very well thought of. I asked around, there's some guys. CFO came from Equinox Hotels and SoulCycle and all that. And he was at Endeavor and WME before UFC. So there's some, I don't know, they're making some hires. I just wanted to call that out there.
I'll just like also call out, supposedly everybody's supposed to be coming together on this. Why are we still moving in two different directions and making hires? Don't know the answer to that, but just that's the takeaway I had from this. Was like, okay, well, they're not going to get this figured out.
Yeah. Other random stuff I had, the KVV tweet about Andy Johnson calling
Assume that people haven't read it, as always.
Okay. KVV tweets, quote, let me pull this up.
I got X's it. A lot of great work produced at the Masters this year, but I want to give a shout out to Andy TFE, that's Andy Johnson of the Fried Egg, who upon seeing some unnamed media person filling an entire cooler with free sandwiches at the end of the day, tapped his shoulder and said, have a little shame.
Which, God, that sounds like something straight out of Curb Your Enthusiasm or something. You know, just because like I walked up to those and I'm like, oh, like I figure somebody's watching me and all that.
They have to know how many waters I drank last week. Like I just assumed all of that. Right.
I'm like, all right, I'm going to have one of these peach ice cream sandwiches, you know, I'm going to combine a pimento cheese and an egg salad sandwich. That's it, guys. You can see like I'm not taking anything else here. So, yeah. I had that written down and then I had, I just wanted to call out tonight, if you're looking for something to do prior to the Taurus Sauce premiere at 9 p.m. on YouTube, you can fire up the Pasta Tiempo, the Western Intercollegiate. You can see the renovation of the front nine of Pasta Tiempo. I think they're going to dive in on the back nine later this year. But stoked to see that. It's pretty good. I think Washington's playing quite well, but Washington, Stanford, bunch of West Coast teams that's hosted by San Jose State, and always a good watch out there. So
cool. You want to take us to the other men's event this week?
Yeah, I just wanted to do a quick drive-by on Punta Cana. Sally, we're going to play a little game. Is this guy in the field at Punta Cana or not?
Okay.
Ricky Barnes.
Yes.
Correct. Bo Van Pelt.
Yes.
No. William McGirt.
Yes.
Yes. Daniel Berger.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. He must be the one guy, the one solid guy in the field.
Rory Sabatini.
Yes.
No.
What?
His first alternate.
I've said right yes now. To everybody.
Alex Fitzpatrick.
Yes. Sponsors exemption.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Wesley Bryan.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
DA points.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. He gets in a lot of these. That's a lot of yeses in a row.
Derek Ernst.
No.
No. Richard S. Johnson.
Yes.
Tommy Gainey.
Yes.
George McNeil.
No.
Yes. God. That's all I got for you.
Okay. That's incredible. All right. Last last question on the men's side here from Zav 1918. Who's the second best player in the world right now?
God, I wish it was Vic.
I made a strong case for Wyndham a couple weeks ago. This is putting that to the test, but I think my answer might be different, and I don't know where I'm going to go, but it's between two guys for me. I'm going to make somebody else go first.
Is it Ludwig?
It might be. It might be.
It's still either the blow pig. He had one bad week. I mean, he's
probably
going to
get
a
nasty gram from Roberto Castro calling it recency bias and all that. But Roberto, I'm just going to tell you, man, past results don't necessarily indicate, you know, future returns. And I think the Scotty stuff you've been tweeting out, Solly, like him over the last 2 or 3 years and the data golf stuff and where his floor and his ceiling are is pretty jarring and pretty like, I don't really, unless he gets hurt here sometime soon, I don't really see anything changing, right?
Truly, what's changing is he's getting ready to become a dad. And so, like, I don't know if he's going to be, like, fresh and ready at the PGA. Like, that, you know, that's a reasonable question to have going into the next major, right? But I don't regret anything we've said in reaction.
Totally.
If anything, it was just an emphasis point of, like, I know we covered every week, and I know we got to come up with better ways to talk about how good Scotty is, but I need everyone's attention here that this is really special. This is, like, truly, truly special. It's not the most exciting style of play, but, like, dude, it could get out of hand here. And when we say best since Tiger, that doesn't mean Tiger. But it just means, like, dude, if Tiger did not exist, we might have, like, the best player of the last, I don't know how many years. Like, Phil has a great case for that as well and has accomplished a ton. I know VJ has a great case and has accomplished a ton, but it's in that realm. It really is. And yeah.
Charlie, I mean, who else would be a candidate for
Rom?
Yeah.
I mean, I it's not been a great run of golf for Rom, but he's still an incredible golfer. Like, and I will not fall asleep on that just because he hasn't won a live event and didn't play great at the first major. Like, I would guess he figures that out more than this would become a trend, right? I mean, we saw Neiman kind of take a dip when he went to live and then bounce all the way back. We've seen, you know, some other guys kind of do the same. I don't want to discount Rom, and I think his like, he's not the second hottest player in the world right now, but the question was who's the second best. And again, the data golf models are really interesting in how they weight recent play, long-term play, and things like that. And it says Scotty, Xander, Rory, Ludwig, Rom, Tommy, Max as the top seven players in the world right now.
Tough to find too much fault with that.
Yeah. Big ups to Max on that. It goes Hatton, Neiman, Morikawa to round it out. So.
And a great spot for Xander, too, because, I mean, second, he's never going to win anything, so kind of fits perfectly.
That's like, if Cantlay just played a little bit better in the majors, you could say you could make an argument for Cantlay.
Yeah, he's 11th in their rankings. Bryson's up to 13th in theirs, which, I mean, again, for transparency, we've shat on where the LIV guys rank in these rankings. Like, LIV now has four of the top 13 guys, which is about as good as they've
been. Data Golf loves Hatton.
They do. Like, I mean, loves Data Golf, that... When you say that, it just means that Hatton's good at putting the ball in the hole, right?
Like, yeah, totally.
That's what their models are judging. And the normal way we look at it is a lot more weight, viewers and fans put a lot more weight in wins and less weight on consistency. You'd rather in pro golf have a win and a miscut than 2 seconds, right? Data Golf would say, like, no, you'd rather have 2 seconds. So
shout out to Tommy, baby. no, I think the other thing with Hatton too is it seems like if you're good at differentiating yourself from the field during difficult conditions, mm-hmm. that's probably going to make your, you know, like that counts for a lot, right? Versus just being right in the mix. And I feel like Hatton plays well in difficult conditions and can differentiate himself when the going gets tough sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense.
I don't know if it does either. I just automatically discount when majors come around, though. Pre-live as well. That's not a change. He just doesn't really tend to do a whole lot, but... All right, that's it on the men's side. Why don't we go flip over to Chevron? You guys have a Chevron preview podcast. This is out earlier this week. It's up on our YouTube, our brand new No Laying Up podcast YouTube channel, which you can check out. What has anything changed as the week has evolved here from preview time?
Cody, I'll ask you. You've been down on site the last day or two, playing the pro-am yesterday. Had an electric pairing yesterday. Saw some course changes. Some things about, you know, they're kind of going to change from year one to year two with this event. Take us there, man.
Yeah, I think that's one thing we highlighted in the preview is Chevron at the end of last year, their first playing there, they talked about all this money that they were going to put into the course. We scoured the internet and there was no reportings from the course, from tournament organizers, from LPGA.com, nothing about what they actually did. And I showed up there late on Monday evening and I was like, wow, these are brand new greens and all the bunkers have been completely redone. And they've added some new ones in there. And there's a couple of new tee boxes to lengthen the course out. And I tell you, there really hasn't been any grow in. So these things are as hard as I have ever seen.
Wow.
They are rock.
I love my pick then. Oh my God. Rock, I'm so excited.
Hard. The good thing is that most of the time when they just focus on resurfacing greens, you know, the aprons, the fringes still seem somewhat soft. But they thought through that too, and they actually redid all the fringes. So it's just rock hard all the way up to the green. You can see, you'll still see some seam lines and stuff out there. It's going to take a couple of years for this growing to be done. But they expanded some of them. There's some new pinnable locations, and the course looked a heck of a lot different than putting surfaces wise than it did last year. Going into year two of this event, there was obviously some faults with this event last year. A lot of it was just because it was new. It also was kind of a funky setup, but also they just got a bad draw on weather, and that's stuff that they can't really control. They also have weather in the forecast for this week, so it looks like there's going to be a little bit of rain on Friday, and maybe that continues into Saturday, so we'll see. But I don't know if, like, they could dump as much water on the greens that they have right now. It just runs off because it's so hard. Yeah, there's no root structure, so there's no real place for the water to go. Besides,
Cody, have they done anything about the diesel theft from last year?
I don't know about that, but I did. I don't know where the actual trucks were set up, but I'm sure it's in the same production yard. But where Grant and whoever Grant is going to be with, I don't know if it's going to be Paige or Karen, where their truck is at is actually like, you know, the pond that's on right of 9, left of 18. So that comes back, there's this big like dam at the end of it. And then there's like a slow, I don't know what they're called, but I guess if it overflows a little bit, it's a little runoff area. Their booth is parked right on top of that. So that's where that trailer is. So if they get too much rain, I mean, I'm afraid Graham might float away on this thing.
We got a good broadcast schedule. We got, Golf Channel, I think 10 to 2. And then again, 6 to 8, both, Thursday and Friday. And then Cody, we're going to be on ESPN Plus on both Thursday and Friday with some featured groups. We got some great feature groups for that.
When you say we, like you and Cody are calling
me and Cody.
Yes. Like that we're going to be watching on ESPN.
We have a meeting Plus. About it right after this.
Listen, yeah. Shocked us too. We're calling live golf on ESPN Plus.
Yeah. And then they got some.
What are the time windows for that? What are the time windows for that?
I think we're going 2:30 Eastern.
Yep. So we're going to be afternoon on both days, Thursday and Friday. We know for a fact tomorrow we're going to start at 2:30 Eastern. We're going to have a little feature group coverage. The first feature group that we're going to be covering, of course, Rose Zhang. I don't know if anybody's heard of her. Hoi-Joy Kim, Solly's favorite, and NASA Hatayoka. Second group
shout out to the Houston Space Center.
Exactly. And the second group will be somebody that, there's really this person and then the rest of the field this week, and that's Nelly Korda playing with Min Ji and defending champion Lily Vu.
I love it.
How are we, guys? I got full transparency here. It's been a big catch-up week. I have not caught the preview pod, so apologies in advance for if we rehash anything. How are we feeling going into year two in terms? I was very vocal at the end of last year of like, yo, that didn't feel like a major. Like, I don't want to put all the blame on the tournament. A lot of that was towards coverage of like, that was, it felt like maybe a signature event on the LPGA tour if there was one, yeah. Right? Do you get the sense being there, Cody, and with understanding the plans, adding the feature groups, adding some better coverage around this window, is this going to feel like a major to viewers? And I'm again of the stance of like, it takes time for tournaments to feel like majors, and you can't just call them one and earn that title off the bat. And moving this from a location that's been in for many, many years and people have known it as a major to a new one is a refresh that it's just going to take some time, I think, but I'm hoping for some progress from year one to year two. How are you guys feeling about that right now?
Yeah, I feel that way. I think that there's a bigger build out this year. There's a brand new tournament director. Oh, there's but hospitality on site. I mean, everybody remembers last year, 18 was like, you could just the biggest like backboard in the world. You could just fire it into that so thing and then get a free drop. That's still, you know, they still have grandstands around it, but they've repositioned it and created more space. So where they're going to be dropping is kind of behind that back right bunker there, but you'll still see probably people firing it back in there. TV, we're getting more hours for NBC's portion of it, and the ESPN Plus thing is amazing, and that's something, an initiative that Molly, the commissioner of the LPGA Tour, talked about us over a year ago and said, hey, I'm really trying to figure out streaming options. I know people want to see more golf. I think we got a thing going with ESPN Plus. We just got to put everything together, and now we're finally seeing it. And they started it last year. They had it for CME Tour Championship. They're going to have four events on it this year. We, of course, are on board with it. So, you know, all people want to see is more golf. And I think trying to compare it to, you know, right now you're never going to be able to compare anything to a men's major. No. And a lot of that is just history and tradition that goes with it. But the LPGA Tour and the leadership there is doing everything possible to take the right steps forward that they absolutely like legally can right now. And it's really cool to see. On top of that, a year two of Chevron signing like a big year deal to take this away from its longtime home and to move it to Texas so it'd be closer to their headquarters. And we already see a purse increase, which I think is awesome. And it massive just continues to show, yep, extra like $2.5 million in there. Shows more companies continuing to invest in the LPGA Tour, seeing what the potential of the LPGA Tour is, and, you know, trying to get the most out of every single one of these events.
Tom Dunaway has a comment here as well. It's like, would be nice if the PGA Tour, you know, didn't schedule a signature event opposite, which if I took from Mike Wan's comments about like how they help drive ratings, I might actually disagree with that in terms of the LPGA gets more ratings, better viewers, more interest on this, on the, when people are flipping between two channels,
when it feels like a golf week. Versus, yes.
Yeah.
I think, you know, granted, like some of the Wan stuff you got to take with a grain of salt with the LPGA Tour. Cause I do think he got him into a poor spot with the TV contract and with letting the PGA Tour run their TV contract and negotiate it. But, you know, I think on the flip side, like the TV product stuff isn't just a Chevron thing, right? It's, you know, at Baltusrol, the KPMG women's PGA didn't feel like a major the way that they covered it there either, right? You know? And, yep. And so,
totally.
But yeah, I think the other thing too, is part of the reason they moved to this week is to get away from the Augusta National Women's Am.
Yes.
And, you know, Heritage has this week. So there's all sorts of cooks in the kitchen on the scheduling front. There's not going to be any perfect week. I guess, you know, critics would say put it up against Zurich or whatever, but like, you know, I'm with you guys. I think that all boats rise when there's more good golf tournaments going on, as long as you can find a home for them. As far, you know, on like, this is on NBC from 3 to 6 Eastern on Saturday and Sunday, while the PGA Tour is on, you know, CBS. So there is a home for it this week, you know. Yep. And you're not getting preempted by fucking Champions Tour coverage, basically.
Right. Now, what I would say is still very, very disappointing, and I know that this is an additional cost that comes from either the tour or the sponsor, is getting like the bumper coverage live from. I think that if I was the LPGA Tour, I would encourage them with not only the advances in technology and everything else like that, make your own show. Like if NBC is saying, in order to get live from whatever it's going to cost, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million or whatever like that, and they can't move that whole thing down there, say, okay, well, we'll figure something out to try to make these events, trying to make them feel elevated. Because when I think of major championships, I think of wall-to-wall live from coverage. Totally. That's on night, that leads in the morning. You got Golf Central cutting in and everything else like that. I think there's it's creative. And I think that there's a lot of people who are interested in investing in women's athletics overall that would say, yeah, 100%. We'll come in and it'll be a low bid in the beginning, but sure, we will invest in you and we'll see what we can grow this thing into.
I also think they need to rip away major status from the Evian. Say, hey, here's what a women's major means. We have four of them. These are what they are, and go from there.
Because right? As I'm sitting here now, it feels like there's three very clear ones and there's two like secondary ones, right? And like the more, I totally agree with that. If you take Evian away, it then becomes, and it just comes building some new traditions around it. And it, yeah, the shoulder programming thing is something we've talked a lot about, but it's like, again, look at what happened with women's basketball this past year. Like that is owed a ton to it being on shoulder programming on SportsCenter and people talking about it. It's not just like there's the word of mouth factor is enormous with all this.
Well, ESPN, I'll give all credit there to ESPN believing in the product and being mm-hmm. like, wow, if we invest in this,
totally,
our returns will come.
Yeah. The first step's like making it available. Yeah. It's like nobody can be a fan if it's not available, if you can't watch it, you know.
Golf Channel is not sending live from to signature events like the you know, yeah. on the men's
they
side.
Did Pebble.
Was it live from? They didn't have live from there. They had
Golf Central there. You're right. Yeah. You're right. But same thing. I mean,
Pebble paid for that. I'm pretty sure. I don't think
100%.
Yeah.
Meaning AT&T paid for it, and that's where I'm saying here is, and I know that puts tour leadership in a very tough position. I mean, they very well could have done that this year, and said, "Yep, we're going to take this $2.5 million." That Chevron has agreed to pay, and we're going to build additional things out around coverage, or we're going to take that money and put it in the purse. And I would say like 10 out of 10, put it in the purse.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's creative things around this. And Solly, the only thing that I'll disagree on you with the elevated versus actual major things. And I could actually say this back to like what you guys were just discussing about RBC. Like, that's cool that RBC, it's a great event. It's a signature event with there's no cut now, and there's a ton of money that's pushed into it, and it's immediately behind. And the reason why all these players are there, even though they're all Hundog, is because there's a ton of money, there's no cuts, and it's a signature event, and they know that they need to be there. Yeah. All right. To the LPGA players in the LPGA ecosystem, this is a major, and it's worth major points, and it's worth major money. And it goes, they're fired up about this, and they love the fact that it's in Texas.
And Cody, I love that. I know that, and I've been to majors, and I feel that when you're on the ground, I want the fans at home to feel that. That's the key, right? Like that's where things are going to, if this leap is going to ever happen, it has to feel like that at home, or else so much of that goes to waste. I feel like I've covered a lot of KPMGs in person, and I'm like, fuck, this is awesome. Like it really is awesome being there. And you know, you go and like look at social chatter on it, and it's just not there. Like the buzz is just not there, and that's something gets lost in that medium between taking what's happening on the course and relaying it to the public. And
it's kind of wild that Cody played in a pro-am before a major,
right?
Well, yeah,
but that's kind of one of those things that like they're spending money on it. Like,
Well, this is the Juan effect too, is that, and I think you'll probably see a little bit over time. There's a lot of incredible things that he did when he was commissioner, but I think that the tour is gradually starting to pull themselves away from that at certain events, because like you can't really do that. You're asking an awful lot. And I know that last week was a week off for them, but you're asking an awful lot. So usually they run Tuesday and Wednesday pro-ams this week, because if it's a major, it's only Tuesday. But, you know, Big and I played in the AIG Women's Open last year, pro-am. And we're like, what the heck? Like, why are we doing this here?
Who'd you play with this year?
I played with Arian Foster, which was wild. Haven't seen much from him since he was talking about fighting wolves on Twitter, and I think he was on Rogan. And I played with a member CMO, I think, at the LPGA Tour. My two pros were Se-young Kim and Andrea Lee, both delightful people. Se-young is an absolute flusher of the golf ball. I'm like, how do you, like, I know you're already a major champion and like tons of wins and everything, but like, why don't you win like every event? And then you go up and like watch Nelly on the range and you're like, oh, like that's why. She's in complete control of her game. I want to shout out and be on the lookout for KVV is writing it. An awesome, little gamer right now on Nelly and kind of where she's at. not only within the season, but herself and the game and everything else. And I'm very, very excited to read it and, you know, probably pull him on. We're going to have live shows again at the, after the 36 hole mark right here on Friday evening. So probably pull KVB in and see what he was able to get into.
Love that. Is let's do this next. We have our FanDuel play of the week. I know I went LPGA route. I figure this will kind of weave into there. I assume you guys went LPGA as well, but
I did.
You want to go first then? I'll go first. As soon as you started describing the golf course, Cody, I felt even better about this play. I wish I'd have got, I may go even harder. I may double up, but this is a one pick thing. I don't want to set a bad precedent here. TC, you get one pick. Yuka Sasso is going to have a great week. I think she's played some solid golf, 5 starts so far this year. Top, been in her worst finish is T27 so far. She hits it different than a lot of people out there. She hits it high. She's a flusher. She hits it far. There were the ladies that hit it far last year, Lilia Vu, Angel Yin, they were in. You're telling me about new tees that are put in now here, Cody. This golf course rewarded length last year. She hits it far. She hits it high. She's a big-time player in major championships. She's won a U.S. Women's Open. She was runner-up last year at KPMG. Yuka Sasso to top 10. Also my pick to win, but I love the plus 280 to top 10. I think she's going to do that. TC, what do you got?
I got it's the same as my winner play that I talked about on the preview. I thought about going Billy Horschel top 10 at Heritage, but then I realized Billy Horschel isn't playing in the Heritage. He's in the Dominican Republic. That's always my, I think one of these years Billy's going to win there at Harbortown. But I'm going with Gabby Ruffles to win. Oh, I think Gabby Ruffles is a big time player. I think she's only going to get better with more experience. I'm buying all the stock I can get on her.
Plus 11,000 for those listening. That's a fabulous play, TC. I'm envious.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, I think, I think things are in a big spot right now with the LPGA as far as Olympics qualification and as far as Solheim Cup qualification. Obviously, Gabby's not in Solheim contention, but I just think there's all like that's a really interesting theme to kind of keep track of like, was it Gabby, Lydia Ko, Grace Kim, Australia versus New Zealand here.
I was going to say, where are you going with this one?
Just like thinking about kind of her representing, if that's, Hannah Green or Minji or who's going to represent Australia in the Olympics too. I think that's a big thing.
Gabby's got a long way to go to get on that list.
How did you get to name that many players? This is incredible.
Cody, again, I'm still talking about the same play here.
Got to cut him off. Cody, what's your, do you have a play of the week?
I do. So like I said, I was very fortunate enough to play with Se-Yun Kim and talk through everything with her, kind of her life, her upbringing, where she's at. She's joking to me because majority of these ladies, specifically the Koreans, they all live up here in Dallas. They just are the cleanest area, Los Colinas, they're just always around there. And I asked her a lot of questions like, what do you guys got going on there? She hit the ball on an absolute rope, and I know this is very, very recency bias, but I went back and looked at her results. So she ended up, she got beat out in a semifinal match to get into match play finals, all right? Ford Championship, T13, Blue Bay LPGA, T15, Honda LPGA Thailand, tied for third. She has made every single cut this year. Her highest finish was at, T17 at the HSBC Women's World Championship. Her caddy says she's prime. I'm not going to the win. I'm going to a top 5 Se-Yun Kim, and I'm going to take that at plus 550. I was so impressed. And I know it's very, very easy once you get up close and watch these women hit the ball, but it was unbelievable. And she just made everything. For our scramble group, we played her ball the vast majority of the time. Arian and I were just sitting there like jaw dropped. What is happening?
Who won't win? TC? It's got this game. We play it on the men's side. It's got to be a favorite of some kind.
Yeah.
It won't win.
Lilia Vu is not going to win. Defending champion, battling injuries, had a really tough start to the year. She's obviously, there's something going on. She needs to take another chunk of time to actually put all this stuff together. She definitely will not win.
I don't think Minji's going to win. She doesn't seem to be playing great golf right now.
I'm going to take Lydia, the second favorite on the board at plus 2,500, along with Atiya Titikun and Jin-Young Ko. It's the odds are wild, guys. It's Nelly at plus 500, and the second best odds is plus 2,500. Like,
and she, a lot of she deserves those.
I know. Does it feel like it's going to happen? Like, does it? I want to say yes, because what we just witnessed on the men's side, and like the parallels are ridiculous, and that's the wrong logic, I think, in terms of, yeah, just because Scotty just did it, that means Nelly's going to. But man, this is a big spot. And I hate to say this, I'm rooting for her. I'm a Nelly fan, but like when the spot has gotten really big in a lot of these major championships for Nelly, it has not gone great. When the spotlight has been shining really bright. Yeah, in the regular events, like it's different, right?
Does Nelly or does
I'll say this: we were very, very lucky. We have Justin Ray on to run us through some awesome stats in the preview podcast. All right, her putting numbers are actually almost the same, very slight improvement. Where her improvement actually is everybody just looking at her golf swing thinks that she's like just the ball striker. It's actually her proximity to the hole. Last year, I think she averaged like 27 point something feet. This year, it's like 16. Holy right? When you're hitting it, that close to the hole, you know, those putting stats
don't matter as much.
Exactly.
I feel like there seems to be more confidence with the putter as well, though. And maybe that's a factor of, you know, a few different things, or maybe that's placebo or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't want to front run KVV's piece too much here, but she also has like, for the first time in a long time, she has ownership of her life, you know? And I think the biggest thing, and if you look at it, she never went to college. She went to a very prestigious academy. And then when she started traveling around, her sister has always been with her. And the fact that Jess has been out with a new baby and everything that goes around that, Nelly has had the opportunity and intentionally decided that she was going to go play the LA to Phoenix to Vegas completely by herself. And she just had her caddy there with her. She rented a car and made road trips instead of driving all over the place, because she never had that opportunity before to just go explore and do it. And I think that you're seeing Nelly being like this adult Nelly and finally, you know, being out on her own. And like I said, having extreme ownership of her successes. And I think you see that in her golf game coming through.
One other thing to call out, Atiya Titikun. This is her season debut.
It is.
A lot of players light on starts to start. I was just looking at a lot of that. You know, some of the players I was excited about. But
talked about Atiya. She's been injured since the end of last year. Didn't play at all in Asia. She's just kind of been down. Patty T, if you're gonna ask me who outside of Nelly, who is it gonna be? It's Patty. I mean, she's hitting the ball so good right now. She's playing, she's scoring. Already got a win earlier this year.
I'm excited. You guys got me stoked. You guys have done such a great job with being leaders in that conversation of, you know, that shoulder programming to talk about this stuff that is what's going to build interest. So I'm excited to watch you guys on ESPN Plus. Drakey DXB is one of many people, as well as many people in the chat, have been asking, when do we get to hear about Solly's round at Augusta? This will be addressed. We will be doing a podcast next week. We are focused on the major championship this week, as well as signature event. We're going to sit down. We're going to go blow by blow. We'll give you the whole thing. All my friends texted me. I'll give you everything I've got from that round. I promise. No pictures, no video, of course. But spoiler, it was really fucking cool. It was really, really cool.
Who would have thought?
Even cooler than I thought it would have been. But I will lay it all bare when the time has come. I need a little bit more time to like think about how to say it more eloquently than like, yeah, it was really cool. So whatever questions you got, send them. We'll get them addressed in the podcast.
So it lived up to the expectations.
Yes. Yeah. It was, I'll spoil this part. It was like so fun. Like it was, I just wanted to like go do it again. Right. It wasn't like that might sound obvious, but like, it was just the same kind of feeling you get when you play like the old course or like even like Sweetens or something like that, in terms of like, let's go do it. I can do that shot better this time. I can do this one better. or it's really, really, really engaging golf shots that like you could get really close to executing and fail. And you're just like, oh, it's not like TPC Sawgrass where you're just like, dude, I'm good.
I don't have that shot.
Yeah. Solly question up. Without going too far into it. Did you hit cups?
Now that's one thing we'll get into as well. It's like, it was not a formal round of golf. Right. Okay. I did not hit every cup. That's what made it really fun. Honestly, it was just like, a lot of people want to know what I shot. We'll cover all that in there. It wasn't that kind of round. That's not an excuse. It's just, it's not a pretty number, but honestly didn't care.
Will you be posting it?
You can't. There's no gin. There's no Augusta National in gin. I looked this up.
Really?
Swear to God. There's no Augusta National in gin. Yeah, I couldn't find it. I mean, I can find the slope and rating, I'm sure. But all that detail come next week. Stick around for that. Subscribe. All that stuff. So we have a huge debut tonight on our YouTube channel, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Taurus Sauce, Season 9, Episode 1. TC, you want to take us? We're not going to spoil anything from it. It's also
if you're listening to this, it'll be, on the podcast feed, it'll probably be live by the time this goes out. We hop on the plane, we go to Sydney. We played New South Wales, Bonnie Doon, and Bondi Beach and Diggers Club. And in this one, we really just played New South Wales and Bondi, and then Bonnie Doon's in Ep 2. But just first time to Sydney for me, at least. It was fantastic. God, the scenery was awesome. The food was great. The coffee was great. The hospitality we experienced was fantastic. I think my favorite part of the episode is just the beginning of just like the excitement of going on a big ass trip to the other side of the world. And it brought me back. It was such a callback to Season 1, of, hey, we're doing this much different way, but we're going back to Australia and doing it right this time. And, Sally, what was your favorite part of the episode?
It was just really cool to sit in the clubhouse at New South Wales around a round table with some golf course aficionados to hear more about New South Wales and just like have a view of the golf course, sitting there having beers, like recapping the day after it's a physical golf course. Like it was a walk, right? And we were all pretty exhausted. It was a hike, and you're just sitting there hanging out. Like to kick off the trip, it was just like, holy shit, we're back in Australia. We're filming it. We're doing it right this time. And it was a blast. We had such a great time in Sydney. And I'm very excited for the world to see this season. It's going to be undoubtedly different than anyone we've ever done. We keep kind of building on the quality of the video, and I'm really proud of what you guys have put together. So
Cody, what about you? What was your favorite part of that part of the trip?
Bondi Beach was sweet. I'll say that. Shout out to the VFW. I can't remember exactly what they call it.
Yeah. RSL.
RSL. That was really cool. You guys, I'm glad you enjoy those table sit down discussions, because they're my absolute worst.
Your forearms sore.
My forearms that turn into shoulders that turn into the upper back, then travels down to the lower back because you're like focusing and holding, and then you start the shakes. But it turns out great, man. We had such a good time. Excited to get it going. People, at the preview podcast, Tour Sauce Podcast, is out there. If you're looking for it in video form, it's on the podcast channel. We actually got some additional images in there as well. So we tried to expand upon things that we're describing so you can get the visual aspect of it as well. And I know that's like the second or third time we shot it out, but we're trying to make this additive. All right. We appreciate every single listener, every viewer, and we're trying to give you guys, a more complete experience. Now,
subscribe button
that I'm super excited about, behind the scenes content. Thursday, tomorrow, Nest members, you're going to get another video, right? If people don't know what the Nest is, where can they find that?
NoLangUp.com/join.
There you go.
/join.
Join that. We're going to have it on the website. All you got to do is be signed in, and you'll have access to that video. We'll make sure we put a post out there on the message board so everybody is aware of it. But some good behind-the-scenes stuff. Not like a big season wrap-up like we've done in the past. We're going to go week by week, episode by episode. Thing that I love, I think back to Game of Thrones. I think back to True Detective, those great HBO shows. how they had like the after watch thing. That's kind of what we're going for here. So hopefully HBO doesn't sue us for that idea, but that's kind of what we're trying to do.
I need DJ like very seriously sitting in like a fancy chair in an interview, just being like, what we were going for in this scene was, you know, this, I need that.
Yeah. We've got Neil did a favorite scenes from the whole season piece. It's up on the website. I got some kind of some episode notes, travel guide stuff going up as well. So we're
hitting you on a lot of fronts. It's coming, yeah. Baby. We've been promising the video content coming. It is here as of tonight, and it is not going to stop for quite some time. It's
multimedia, it's cornucopia, a sensory blitzkrieg of Torah stuff. That's
exactly right. And if you want to consider joining the Nest to help support some of this content, of course, nolayingup.com/join. Want to shout out our partners on our happy hour shows. That's, of course, High Noon, Roback, FanDuel. Shout out all the listeners, Cody and TC, for being here with us as well. Everyone have a great Wednesday. We'll see you at Torah Sauce premiere tonight. And everyone enjoy the golf this week. Crack on.